Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharicana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharicana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharicana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Today, we are joined by our guest, Dr. Vincent Alexander Davis, PhD.
Vincent Alexander Davis is a St. Xavier University alum, class of 2010, and the interim divisional director of the Liberal Arts and Humanities Department at St. Xavier University. Before teaching, Davis was a longtime employee for RICO USA, Inc. for 19 years as a site manager. During his employment with RICO, Davis returned to school, receiving an associate's degree in mass communications, and has since gone on to earn a PhD in communication studies from Regent University in 2023. The title of his dissertation is The Family Tree, An Examination of Genealogical Influence in Identity Formation and Interpersonal Communication.
His research sought to create intersectionality between genealogy and communication studies by arguing that there is a genealogical aspect to how individuals see themselves and communicate interpersonally. Davis is a full-time faculty member at SXU, St. Xavier University, and has won several teaching awards. He is also a genealogist, family historian, and volunteers to help others. His genealogical research was the driving force behind his dissertation. Welcome to Speak On It, Dr. Vincent Davis.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, Vincent, thank you so much for being here. As mentioned in your bio, your professional career was in the corporate sector. You decided to attend college and you were kicked out. Now, this is a little different, but we want our listeners to take this journey with us. So please share what happened during your college experience in the beginning.
Back in the day, I have no problem telling you all that. Even though I was a good student, my problem was I didn't go to class. And eventually, after a couple of years and after a couple of years, probably way too many chances, I got kicked out of college. That was back in the days of the golden age of hip hop. I was all into the hip hop culture at that time, and that was really all I cared about. And if you I know the viewers can't see, but if you look at my hoodie, it's the exact same thing. I'm still repping all the old schoolers right there. So, but that was what I was back then. And then what ended up happening was that after I got kicked out of college, I worked a few menial jobs, got married, became a dad. And once I became a dad, that's when I started regretting my decisions prior to that and started wishing I had finished college. So I just made it a point that whenever I got the chance, I would go back to school. So from the time I got kicked out of school in 93 to 2003, there was a 10-year gap there. And then I was just a part-time student from 2003 to this past summer when I finished up with my doctorate. So it's been a long road and I'm glad it's over.
Listen, not everybody's journey, our journeys are all different. So
that's true.
It is what it is. And not everybody has a traditional 4-year trajectory. Some people start later. Some people don't go at all. So,
that's true.
Life unique. Mm-hmm. So wait, do you rap?
No, not anymore. Now, back in the day, I could spit, but not anymore. I'm nowhere near as good as I used to be. However, shout out to Dilla, Tribe Called Quest, my favorite groups out there.
Yes, Donuts by Dilla, great album.
Yes, and it's funny, if you look back here, my son gave me that for my birthday earlier this year. If you look back there, you'll see that the 45 set of Donuts I got right back there.
Nice, Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
That's what's up.
We wanted to start
See,
out
my
with that
son
because,
know what's up to.
well, we wanted to start out with that journey because, you know, some people, as Cher kind of mentioned, you don't, everybody doesn't always have the same journey. But to go from getting kicked out, dropout status to getting your PhD, I just wanted the listeners to hear the redemption in that. And we'll continue with Cher kind of. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
How did you become involved in genealogy, and what impact did your research have on you?
I became involved in genealogy once I found out the truth about my paternity. At that particular time, I was already married with kids, so it was a little bit of a shock to me. So I set out to find out some information about about my father. So basically, when did I find out about him? I think it was in the late 90s, if I recall correctly. I want to say 99 or 2000, somewhere in there. I found out about him, and back in those days, as you all know, the internet wasn't what it is now,
Right.
but we could just go on here and type in a name and find something. So what ended up happening was that I went to the not knowing what I was doing, I went to the Harold Washington Library here in Chicago, and I remember telling the librarian why I was there, and she said, here, and she gave me a bunch of phone books. I'm like, what are these for? She said, you know his name? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, take a look in here and see if you happen to see his name. Now, there might be multiple names, but just take a chance to see if you see his name. So I remember looking in those phone books from the late 50s through 1972 when I was born. And in several of those phone books was the only time I saw my father's name in there. And I saw the address in there. And I took a chance and I called the person who I found out was my grandmother and told her what was going on. She relayed the information to my father, and I met him that same day. I had called my grandmother. So he and I talked, and at this time, both of my kids were real little, but he and I had talked a lot during that summer, so we were getting to know each other. And then, as probably tends to happen when people find out about each other, there tends to be this bit of a drift in communication, I guess you could say. And it got to the point where we really didn't talk at all. And I think that there went about a 10 or 12 year period where he and I did not talk at all. I admit that I went through a whole range of emotions, from being excited about finding out about him to being upset that we weren't communicating to just being mad about the whole situation in general. So one day I typed out this like 12 page letter to him, explained everything I was feeling. I remember sending it registered mail, so I knew when he got it. And he called me again that day, and we've been in touch ever since. Now, we're not every week that we talk to each other, but it's been pretty good. So I've gotten to know my grandmother. I've gotten to know my cousins. I do have siblings I know of over there. One of my nieces has been absolutely awesome, and I absolutely love her to death. So you all understand when in a case like this, sometimes it can be hit or miss depending on who the relatives are. So that's pretty much what it's been with me. But generally speaking, on my father's side of the family, it's been pretty good. So, in terms of the impact that had on my research, I think that it was a case of me running through those gamuts of emotions, which kind of started giving me the idea for doing a little bit more research on that. So, as you see, what started as a random phone call ended up being part of my dissertation.
Wow, that is fascinating.
But the phone books, though, that's really taking it back because I remember when I started my research, you know, phone books still came out. They still came to our house or, you know, wherever we traveled, I would pick up a phone book. And so you reminded me of, oh, well, there was a time where you could find people in a phone direct, a physical phone directory, nothing online. And I think that's powerful. And then I love how you shared where you had a range of emotions. You know, some people, when they connect, they connect, they're talking, you know, once a week, once a month. But that's, I think that's interesting. That's the first time I've heard where you connected, but then there was still this gap because there were so many different
Yeah.
emotions. So, but I'm glad that you were able to, after that time frame, and writing is so cathartic, you know, and that whole transference. And it all, it's
Yep.
at times, oftentimes, it can bring about healing. So I'm happy that you were able to reconcile and that you still have a relationship. And out of that, you actually met additional relatives. I think that's powerful.
And even now, the only thing I wanted from him was to know who he was and get to know him. So I think that I've gotten even more than that. So I can tell you now he's 80 years old and chilling. So
Right. That's a blessing.
I can't yeah I can't complain in that sense. So I'm pretty happy, I'm pretty happy about that. I'm also happy that at least I got to meet both of my grandparents, both of his parents. I'm sorry, I got to meet both of them. So, and matter of fact, his mother I ended up knowing pretty well after a while. So, she died in 2018, but at least I can say I got to know her before she died.
That is excellent. That is excellent. That actually reminds me of my own personal story where I sort of reconnected with my father's side of the family. And one of the things that bums me out, I don't necessarily regret it because I didn't do anything wrong, but I was, you know, able to kind of reconnect with my grandmother, you know, his mother. And we were up in the Bronx at my cousin's house. At the time, she was living in North Carolina. She had gone back to North Carolina. And she was like, you know, I'd love for you to come down like one summer and, you know, just kind of spend some time with me. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, we were sort of like trying to reconnect and get to know each other. And I was in college at the time, but she ended up passing away from a stroke. She had a stroke all of a sudden in her backyard. And I was, you know, I think about that because, man, the questions I would have loved to have, you know, had the opportunity to ask her. And you know, the fact that we didn't know each other wasn't any fault of my own, but it still was just like, man, that was a missed opportunity to connect with her and get some family, you know, history and information. So that's really great that you were able to connect with your father's parents.
And I'll tell you this much, one of those conversations that I had with my father, because he used to be a mailman back in the day, so I always make the joke that clearly he delivered. So
See, there's those bars.
so
Those bars. See?
one so one of those times I was talking to him, and then I found out that my great grandparents actually lived around the corner, or in the same neighborhood, I'm sorry, as my maternal grandparents. And I'm like, man, I wish I'd have known about all of that when I was younger, because I would have liked to have met them as well. But it is what it is,
It is
With your
what it is, true.
research, I have a question for you. Where were they from? I
Sure.
know you're based out of Chicago, but did they come from the South or somewhere else, as far as you know, or?
On my father's side of the family, you mean? Yeah. Okay, so my grandmother's family, even though she had been up here, I believe she told me since she was six. So they all were from the Birmingham area and in Alabama. And then my grandfather's folks were from Marshall and Holmes County in Mississippi, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah, I know that Mississippi to Chicago is a very common migration pattern.
Extremely common, but it's funny because, once I know we're going to talk a little bit more about some, the genealogical side of things, but in doing my research, it's funny because on my mother's side, with my grandmother, it was easy for me to find out if people knew my grandmother, because there was only two people in Hinds County, Mississippi, who were named Sweetie. One was my grandmother, and the other was my grandmother's teacher, who she was named after. So that was pretty easy to find
That
out.
is really cool.
I found out a lot of interesting stuff, especially About my maternal grandmother's side of the family. I know you all in your genealogical research, you've probably heard every story in the book, and
Yes.
my story has been just as interesting.
Wow.
Absolutely. For sure.
So, Vincent, we learned that you received several teaching awards as an educator, lecturer, and for the work you do with the Emerging Scholars Program. Our podcast is geared towards listeners who are interested in history and genealogy. Please share techniques or tools you use to empower your students, and how does genealogy factor into the success of your students?
Well, let me start by saying thanks for the mention about what's going on since I've been teaching. I'm really proud of those awards, and I have told my students many times that, without them, there's no me. So I look at it like this. What's worked for me in the classroom is having a real life pedagogy. So even though I teach my students about communication studies, I use a lot of real life examples to explain why it matters, whether it's my own examples or their, or I put them in the mix and use them as examples. I can't count how many times they've gotten what I was talking about once I use that particular approach. So with that being said, also as part of my teaching duties, what we do at St. Xavier, we about 4 or 5 years ago, I believe it was, we started the Emerging Scholars Program, which was geared toward the retention and academic success of our African American students. So in this way, we were providing our own experiences that help, so that way that they succeed academically. They can also succeed professionally and socially. And one of the things I tell my students in teaching communication studies is that no matter what profession you're in, if you can't communicate, it's not going to happen. So I make sure that whatever I do, there's always some type of communication aspect to whatever it is that I'm talking about. So whether we're talking about their education, whether we're talking about what they want to do professionally, whether it's cultural or spiritual awareness, even as it pertains to some of the things they do outside of school. At least for me personally, the two things I try to do is instill the need for strong interpersonal communication skills, and then whenever I get the chance, I include the genealogical aspect in there. And to that end, one of the things I do in one of my classes is that I have my students do a family history project just to find out a little bit about, about what they've learned during their, during a little bit of research. So one of the things I love is, A, when I hear my students tell me about some of the things that they found out. Like, for example, where I live in the burbs of Chicago. So there's a town near me called Alsip, Illinois. One of my students found out that he was the great, great, great grandson of the founder of Alsip. So that's one thing that he thought was pretty interesting. I've had several students find out, and I gotta laugh at this, that their families have mob ties, which I thought was, well, which I thought was hilarious. And then in other cases, my favorite part of that assignment is when students tell me afterwards they're going to keep going because they want to learn more. So I think that's pretty good as well. So everybody has had a story, but that was the point. I let them know you all came from somewhere. You all have a story. So what's yours? So now I will say this much, this is the emotional aspect of communicate genealogy and communication studies that I was telling you all about earlier. Every once in a while, I do get students who've told me they don't know where to start because either they don't know who their father is, or they don't know who both parents are. And that's really pretty sad as well. So I've dealt with that, I've dealt with that before. But not knowing doesn't stop them from wanting to know.
That's
So,
important.
So, once I introduce that, once I introduce that and I try to pique their interest, and I look at it as I've done my job in that. Because, like I tell them, all of you have a right to know where you came from.
Yes.
You plant that seed. That's interesting. It doesn't stop them
I'm
from wanting
trying.
to.
You
So
are.
you noted that, and we talked about it briefly in the bio, that there's a genealogical aspect, right, to how we communicate with each other. And you talked about that in your dissertation, and you argued that everyone has a right to know where they come from, right, as you just stated. So your research sought to create an intersectionality between genealogy and communication studies. Why did you choose that for your dissertation? Why did you choose genealogy for your dissertation? And can you kind of just expound a little bit more on that?
In teaching community, well, let me walk this back. In studying communication studies first, before I started teaching it, almost every subject out there has been covered as far as how to communicate, what to use to communicate, when to communicate. All right. So for me, I've always had this idea in my head that what if there was a way that I could connect genealogy and communication studies? Now, especially thanks to this, to the popularity of DNA testing, even though genealogical findings have clearly had an effect on people emotionally, interpersonally, in the sense of communication norms and patterns and relationships have all been altered. Nobody has really taken the time to say, hold on a second, how does genealogy fit into communication studies as a variable? So what ended up happening was that during my dissertation research, I tried to argue that point, as you said, that there's a genealogical aspect to how we communicate, and I proved that in several ways. Number one, look at the cases of misattributed paternity that's out there, and there are a lot. All right, so think about it like this. I've often said, if you don't believe that there's a genealogical aspect to how we communicate, let somebody know that the person who raised them is not their actual parent when they were led to believe otherwise, and watch how that whole communication dynamic changes. So that's one thing. The other thing is that there's this sense of identity that goes into genealogical discovery as well. But the problem is, as I'm sure you both know, the problem is that sometimes people are wrong about what they think they know from a genealogical standpoint. So during my research, for example, one of the things I highlighted the Thomas Jefferson Sally Hemings case. As I pointed out, that's just a whole mess in itself. In terms of Sally, Thomas Jefferson was married to Sally Hemings' half sister. And so it's like they kept it all in the, like, it was just like the weirdest thing to
Messy,
me. So
messy.
anyway, the point that I was making is that if you do a little research into that, you'll find out that there was at one point a group of Caucasian Jefferson descendants who did not want to acknowledge that Jefferson had black descendants. All right. And the reason, based off some of the research I did on that, part of the reason for that is that concept of identity formation. Some of those people felt that if it was, and this was even back in the day when they first started talking about this, if it was common knowledge that Jefferson had black descendants, then some people felt that that might tarnish his historical legacy. And one of the things that we know in genealogy is this: if you don't want the truth, don't look, because you're gonna find dirt in just about everybody's family. So if you don't want to know those people that you might hold up on this pedestal with this pristine reputation, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find something that you're going to be like, hold on a second, I didn't know that. All right. So Jefferson is just a historical example. Think about other people. Think about other people who were growing up thinking one thing and finding out something completely different once the DNA confirms things one way or another. So there's a huge aspect of identity formation. As a matter of fact, Janice, just thinking about what we were talking about yesterday, if I can paraphrase Dr. Gates from one of his articles, most African Americans who find out, excuse me, who believe that they have Native American ancestry, that turns out to be Caucasian most times. All right. So I've helped people before where I've pretty much been cussed out because they have no Native American ancestry. Well, this person told me this, this person told me this. That's what we are. There is something there in terms of identifying with Native American culture. It doesn't bother me to identify with Native American culture, but when the DNA proves otherwise, it's time to move on. And, you know, it's one thing when you don't know, it's one thing when you do know and you still perpetrate you perpetrate that untruth. So that's my thing. There is something big in terms of genealogical discovery and identity formation. So that's one of the things I talked about there also. So the way that I look at it is that once you put all of that together, there's a lot of good academic, good material for academic research that you can find by creating this intersectionality.
Heavy, heavy stuff. And that's very true about people have a narrative that they create about their background. And there's, I often think about that as well, the example you raised. There's all these social factors as to why people create these narratives. Be they, right or wrong, it is what it is. We've been saying that quite a bit today. It is what it is. But no, it's very true, and people are very passionately, committed to the story. It's true.
My whole thing is whatever you find, embrace it. Whatever you find, embrace it. And if you've been told that you have Native or Indigenous, Native American in your family, you just do the work, do the research. A lot of times, I spoke to a researcher in South Carolina when I first started this journey, my genealogy journey. And she said, because in my family, they kept saying, oh, well, our great grandfather was Native. And I kept saying, you know what, guys, I'm not finding that now. She said to me, she said, a lot of people, black and white, there was mixed, relationships going on between white people and black people. And both sides, if people were fair skinned, lighter, whatever, they would say, oh, well, we just have, they just blamed her, oh, well, we have Native. But then in some research, in my case, with my great grandfather, it took 25 years, but my family, the elders in my family never backed down. They were like, no, he was. And I kept saying, I'm not finding it. It was DNA that did prove it for me. DNA and somebody else's really dedicated, diligent methodology and everything, the research and the proof to back it up. And so, I've shared a number of times on the podcast where, the tribes still exist out of Rhode Island, and it's been proven. So now we can say that, but now you have information to back it up, right? Even if you're close to it, or it's like, oh, well, at least try to find something that proves it or disproves it. So on my mother's side, they never said it. Nobody ever said it. And I was doing research, and turns out my mother's side of the family, they're connected to the whole Trail of Tears, Native American people that were in North Carolina. Some of them passed away. And I'm like, well, what are they doing? I'm buried in an Oklahoma Cherokee cemetery. And I did the research and actually found the documentation where they were Cherokee, where their indigenous or Native American names, they're like listed along with their Christian or English name. So there's proof for that. So, sometimes if we don't have documentation to back it up, we have to be very, very careful and then accept it. And my other position is I'm not crazy about when people want to reject being like, if their family is from Africa and they can document that, they want to put one over the other, or, oh, well, we look, they have very, very long hair and they were very fair skinned. A lot of people don't even know that they're Native people they were dark skinned Native Americans. So you can't get caught up in that and wanting to put down
Absolutely.
and elevate something else. To me, whatever you find, I have European, I have African, and I also have Indigenous. I embrace all of it, and then I have the
Absolutely.
documentation to back it up. If I don't have the documentation to back it up, then it's, hey, I'm still researching it, and I'm not going to put one over the other. The truth is the truth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so
That's all I was saying. Just let the evidence help you out as you go along your research journey. That's it.
So, author, presenter, and genealogist Robin Foster is a friend and colleague of ours. Congratulations on the recent announcement that you are collaborating with Robin and will author
Thank you.
articles for her blog. We're really excited to see that. On Genealogy Just Ask. Please share how you met Robin and some of the topics you will share with readers moving forward.
I think Robin and I had started talking. I met her somewhere along this genealogical journey. It's just one of those things where we just happened to cross paths. And I don't remember if I reached out to her first or reached out or she reached out to me first. I'm thinking it's the latter. But we've just stayed in pretty much in touch since then. In fact, I cited Robin several times in my dissertation. So because I thought that some of the things she said in her books actually worked for those aspects of my dissertation. So with that being said, I look for, how do I say this? Virtually, I've gotten to know Robin pretty well. I look forward to meeting her in person finally one of these days. I mean, I appreciate the mediated communication, but as a comm researcher, it's nothing like the real thing in person. So with some of the things I'll share, you know what? How do I say? I'll just give you just a realistic view of some of my genealogical exploits, some of the things I found. You might even see a little bit of comm studies kind of thrown in there a little bit. Basically, I'm trying to create this narrative, as you all alluded to, that everybody has their own story, but at the same time, I think everybody appreciates the authenticity of these stories rather than, every once in a while, and I'm not throwing shade on everyone, but I think if you just speak from the heart, then it is what it is. You know what I mean? No one can say you're not being yourself. And that's one of the things you're going to get from me is just me being myself. I am conversational. I clown around a bit. You're going to see me probably throw some jokes in there here or there, but either way, y'all will be able to say that's Vince.
Can't wait. Maybe throw in some rap lines in there too. Just throwbacks to your flow back in the day. You know what I mean? Just because
I
the
take seven
way
MCs and put them in a line.
that mailman, he delivered, the way
Oh man. See, now you want me to go, you're gonna have me throw some Eric B. and Rakim on once I'm
he
done with
delivered.
this.
See, all
So
right now. So obviously your genealogy is important to you and you're really enthusiastic about it. You assist individuals in their genealogy journey. So what are some of your genealogy goals?
I want to find all of these missing people in my family. Let me say it like this. I've been able to go back to, to the third and fourth great grandparents level, but there's still people missing there. Unfortunately, as you all know, it's generally easy to trace Caucasian family members in terms of genealogy, but it's so much more difficult after a certain time to trace those of African descent. So, for example, after collaborating with one of my Alexander cousins on my father's side, I finally found out which great grandmother I had. I think it was my great great grandmother, but her name was Dorothea, and it's listed in the records that she was from Africa. She's the first person I found that's actually listed as being from Africa, and she was enslaved in home, either Marshall or Holmes County, Mississippi, by a man by the name of Adam Rankin Alexander. Now, interestingly enough, I was able to trace the enslaver's family easily, not a problem. But Dorothea, that's who I'm trying to find. So, I want my goals are to be able to find those types of lost stories. There's going to be someone in every branch of my tree where it says from Africa. I want to know who they are, and whatever else that I can get from them, that's what I want to do. But the other thing is that I want people to know that just because you don't know a lot initially doesn't mean that you shouldn't start. Honestly, all you need is a name. That's it. All you need is a name, and go ahead and take it from there. But as I mentioned earlier, for me, the most important rule, if you're not ready for scandal in your family, don't start looking, because you are going to find some mess at some point. Be ready for the good, be ready for the bad, as Janice alluded to earlier. Embrace everything that you find, because all of that, good or bad, resulted in you being here. So, enjoy the ride, but just know it's going to be a roller coaster.
I'm so glad you said that. That is so true. And, I was thinking about how genealogy DNA tests are now very, common. And there's commercials and it's like this fun thing and it's like a Christmas gift. It's a Mother's Day gift, Father's Day gift. And we're kind of like blasé about it. But I think that sometimes the risks involved, there are risks involved and you have to be prepared for knowing all of that. And even on shows like, Finding Your Roots, if there's an explosive discovery, there's things that they discuss off camera, or they'll get the permission of someone and say, hey, we found this thing. Are you okay if we share it or not? So even in that situation where it's entertainment and education, it's still, you have to be prepared with dealing some with that seriousness. I was curious to know, have you had any African DNA matches as of yet?
Not that I know of. I think, no, not, you know what? Now that you mention it, no, now that I'm sitting here thinking of it, not that I know of. I'll just say it like that. Not that I know of. I do know that I need to do deeper dives, because, my DNA, I'm with the main companies, if you will. So I do check, but when I get those real distant matches, and then I see that, for example, they're from California, I'm like, man, I was hoping that would be, an African connection or something. So, but I know that that's going to come at
Yeah.
some point. But
As more of them
I'm going
test
to keep at
too.
it.
Yeah. I think as more Africans test, then that'll also expand the database, for folks to kind of start
It
finding some
will.
matches across the continent.
Yeah, some of them
I
are. I'm
do want to
starting
go
to show
back.
up.
Oh,
No,
go
you're
ahead,
fine.
Janice. I'm sorry.
Some of them are starting to show up, and it's what Chera kind of said. They're starting to test, and the connections are being made. They're showing up as. I think I only had one that was fourth to six, but then there are a couple that are fifth to eighth. So the connections, it's happening. It's starting to happen. And I just believe, I used to say, I stopped saying this, but I feel like when we do our DNA, it's like a magnet, a spiritual magnet. And so what was separated and drawn back together. So in my opinion, DNA and this work that we do, there is a spiritual component to it because DNA is that. It's energy, it never dies, and we're here. You said something. All of these stories and the research that we do and all, it all boils down to the making of you, who we are. And so, I love, we love what you're doing, how you're empowering your students, teaching them how to do genealogy. And I love with the information that they're coming back with. And the whole thing is you might find some funky stuff back there, but that's there. You may find some amazing things. I found some of everything, some really, really good highlighted stuff, and then some other stuff was like, what? He was a bootlegger? Or oh, he robbed somebody, like what? Some everything. Oh, somebody saying, oh, well, they died when they were really young. And then you find out that, oh, well, this person died because they were young, because they were having an affair, with a married man. The wife shot the person. I'm going, you said they died when they were young. You didn't tell me they got shot, because they were doing something crazy. So everybody's got a little something, but to me, that's the real world. It's the same thing with the world that we live in now. Like somebody's going to do research on us. Well, what will they find?
Oh,
My
man.
that was saying talking about one of his her themes was be Be a good ancestor, like, or will you be a good ancestor? Like, live your life in such a way that when people come looking for information about you, what is it that you will that what will they find? What type of legacy are
Right.
you for your descendants? And then, are you doing the work? So that's the part I love about with your students, inspiring them to do the work, find out, okay, what's the legacy or what's the history for your family, and then maintaining that so that when their children and their or grandchildren come along, you have something in place to share with them. A lot of times when I do presentations, I always start out with, I literally had to start with scratch. There was nothing. And so for my children, that won't be their story. And for their children,
Right.
that won't be their story because I've done the work for them and pre currently preparing information to leave with them. So we just love and admire, your journey from getting kicked out to coming back and doing the thing. I mean,
Telling you, yeah.
Vincent Alexander Davis, and then you didn't stop there. You're inspiring your students. You're teaching them. You're letting them know that, look, you can make a difference. And I love something that you said about, some of the students, they're able to trace, work with the parents to find their information about grandparents, great grandparents. But then you have that student who's like, I don't know anything, but start with yourself. Just start with
Yep.
you, your story, and go from there. And then prayerfully, information will be revealed so that there's more, but start with yourself so that your children, okay, well, this is what we got. This is what we got to work with. And hopefully they'll take a DNA test and maybe that can help. The other part that I wanted to bring up is that we have a very, very dear friend, Bernice Bennett, and there are other people that are starting to do it too. And that's that emotional side of DNA. A lot of
Yep.
students are very rosy and flowery and, oh, this is so beautiful. And then some of them aren't. And how do you manage that? How do you deal with that? So I'm happy to see that Bernice is doing that. And there are other people that are starting to talk about how do you deal with the emotions, when you find things. I know for me, it still bothers me when I look at my ancestors and see them listed, some of them, the ones who were enslaved, that they're listed next to tools. I was just looking at a document the other day
Exactly.
and I was like, oh, this is, that people literally did that. I have a bed, I have a dog, I have a horse. I have these tools, and then at the very bottom,
Right.
my Negro, and just the first name.
Oh.
That's moving. So again, for you, what you're doing, it's amazing, it's phenomenal, and to me, it's restoring being listed. We're doing better than being listed as a tool. We're coming back, and we're like, I got something for you. Doctor.
And I could tell you this, I could tell you this too. Every once in a while, you'll find documents where you'll see that certain things have happened, but justice was meted out. For example, I have on my mother's side, I knew that my grandfather did not grow up with his father. All I knew is that he had died when my grandfather was little. So once I did the research, it turns out that my great grandfather was killed right here in Chicago in August of 1921 over a gambling debt.
Wow.
So and let me tell you this, because I don't know if your listeners all are aware of this also, but I found this from the pages of Northwestern University Law School. They have this whole big thing where they have a whole bunch of police reports from that era and before that. And sure enough, when I looked over everything, that is my great grandfather Ernest Campbell, who had been killed, and the guy that killed him. Think of the times we're talking about, 1921. Okay,
Right.
so the guy that killed him. The Caucasian man that killed him actually did do time for killing him in an era where usually that didn't happen when it was
Right.
white on black crime.
Right.
So at the very least, I found out that justice was served, and the person who killed my great grandfather did do some time for it. So that's one of my prized finds in terms of documents, was that
Wow.
police report.
And that's a good point about other resources too, of going to academic institutions. And
They have a
a lot
lot.
of times they have a lot of
Yeah.
great records about the local history and stuff like that. Yeah.
And Google Scholar is good for court cases as well, or legal matters. Google Scholar, Google Books. One of the things that I wanted to share was I have a cousin. She just got her PhD from Harvard. And she said that,
Congrats.
when she attended, there were so many people that were looking at her like, well, what are you doing here? You don't belong in this space. And I didn't find out until after she graduated, that, oh, wow, she got her PhD from Harvard. I wish I had known, because she didn't know that she had an ancestor who got his master's from Harvard. So
Oh,
to me,
wow.
if she had known that, it would have been a different feeling,
Different feeling.
like, okay, hold up, wait a minute. I have ancestors that attended here. I belong as much as you do. So, genealogy history is so important. Know what you know, what you don't know, it really matters, and it can make a major impact on you. So, Vincent, wow, this has been so good. What are some parting words you'd like to share with our listeners?
Number one, from a genealogical standpoint, just keep going. Expect the roadblocks. You're going to get frustrated. There are going to be some days where information just comes to you in droves. There's going to be other days where you're not going to get a single thing. It's going to happen. But keep pushing, because at some point, all you need is that one little document, and the floodgates open, or somebody might tell you something and the floodgates open. When my maternal grandmother was alive, I remember this was like a year or so before she died in 2015. When I first started this, grandma would tell me, "Let them sleeping dogs lie." And she had a change of heart. And then one day she just started telling me everything. And then she said, "I got a name for you." And I said, "Ma'am." She said, "Jefferson Davis Hubbard. Jeff Davis Hubbard. Look him up and tell me what you find." Turns out that was her granduncle. She remembered him from when she was a little girl. So once she gave me that name, that opened up the floodgates about her mother's side of the family. So my point is that you also got to listen, because every once in a while, people would throw those nuggets. Maybe not necessarily intending for you to go find out everything, but they're letting you know what they know. It may not necessarily be in just this conversational manner that we're having right now, but it may be something that just happens to come and go just like that. Whatever you do, pay attention. Somebody has something that you can use to help your genealogical research.
That is so true. That's very true. And on that, Vincent, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners.
No
Can you let
problem.
our folks know, where they can find out more about you?
You can find me on Genealogy Just Ask, Robin Foster's page. I'll be posting again sometime soon before Christmas. I'll post my next blog post there. Otherwise, you can find me in all the genealogy groups on Facebook as well. So Lord knows I am all up in that space. I don't say much, but I'm always there. So you can find me there also. So, and I'm happy to work with anybody. If I'm related to you, come holler at your boy. I got you.
All right, there you go. Well, you heard it here
Yeah.
first. Well, we thank our listeners for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.